our gracious God. And as we go through the story, Lord, in the life of David, just seeing how you molded and shaped his life, oh God, please speak to our hearts today. Help none of us just to know the story, but not do what it says. We pray that, Lord, even this morning, there may be someone who doesn't yet know Christ, that today they may find him. And so won't you speak to us, Lord, from the Bible. We thank you for it, and thank you that in the days in which we live, we can have your word so freely available to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, over the last few months, we've been working our way through 1 Samuel. If you're visiting us today, just want to share that with you. It's a wonderful thing, just working your way through books of the Bible. And as you go verse by verse, you listen to what God is saying to us from His Word. So we've gone through the life of Samuel and all that God did through Samuel. Then we went to the very tragic life of King Saul, the first king of Israel, and saw how that man who'd started off so well ended off so very, very sadly. And now we're busy with the life of David. And we saw the way that God chose David. Some of you were with us. You may remember that. King Saul has now found from God that he's going to be taken from the throne, that his family is not going to continue in that line, and the search was for a new king. And God said, "That's my man." And he chose David. He was a young teenager at the time, and Samuel anointed him. And the question always is, why did God choose David? And the only reason was because of his heart. God in his sovereignty specially chose David. Because God doesn't look on the outside. God looks on the inside and chose David. David immediately has the Spirit of God upon him, and he goes to Goliath, that very well-known story, and he kills Goliath. The whole emphasis was not on David's faith or how very strong a young man he was. No, the emphasis is on God. God was raising up a man that was going to eventually come and produce the line of Jesus. And David was going to be a small, insignificant preparation for the coming of the great king who was going to be Jesus. And how Jesus would conquer not a Goliath, but sin and death. So David is anointed king. He has defeated Goliath. And what happened there, friends, as you know, was that he came into amazing popularity. David is rising in fame and in fortune. And after the victory over Goliath and the Battle of Elah, David is now the darling of Israelite public opinion. He's idolized wherever he goes. And that's the story that I want to bring you this morning. Because at this point in David's life, there are 2 very, very strong lessons. The one lesson I'm going to show you is how David coped with popularity. And that's something you've got to learn. Some people are put into positions and they're not able to cope with that. Sure, Mary has very kindly put up with me for all these years. And her mom and dad, who are in their mid-80s now, 85 and 86, they flew up to be with us over the weekend. And it's just wonderful having them with us. We love them very, very dearly. And Mary's dad took us to the Oaks. You all know the Oaks, some of you, a lovely little cottage hotel outside of Richmond on Thursday and Friday. And while we were walking into the dining room, I read this that I thought, you know, that just perfectly summarizes my sermon. This is what it said. When the great scorer comes to score against your name, he writes not if you won or if you lost, but how you played the game. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't it? And one day when we stand before Jesus, it is not a question of did you win or did you lose. My dear brothers and sisters, the question is, how did you play the game? Let me show you two men. The one played the game wonderfully. The other one failed appallingly. So first of all then, this morning, we're going to have a look at popularity. Let's see how David handled popularity. Listen to those verses that Danny read to us. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him. He did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing, and he gave it to David, along with his tunic, and his sword, and his bow, and his belt. The first thing I want you to notice, friends, is that at this very dangerous time in his life, God gave David an incredible friend. He gave David the most amazing friend. His name was Jonathan. Jonathan was the son, as you all know, of King Saul. And there developed between David and Jonathan the most amazing friendship that was humanly possible. There was nothing sinister in it. There was nothing wrong with it. It was the most wonderful, wonderful friendship that you could ever find between two people. It was a David and a Jonathan friendship. And when you look at Jonathan's friendship to David, there were three characteristics of it. The first thing is, it was absolutely pure in its origin. Would have been so easy, don't you think, for Jonathan to become jealous? Would have been so easy for Jonathan to become angry? He knows that his father's messed up badly, that Saul's line is over. He knows that. And because of his godliness, Jonathan responds to David and offers him his friendship. The Bible actually says in those verses that I read to you that he becomes one in spirit with David, that he loves him as he loves himself. It was pure in its origin. But you know what else? It was self-sacrificing in its action. Because Jonathan sees David as becoming the next king, it tells us there that he comes to David one day and he gave him his tunic and his sword and his bow and his belt. See, there's a friend who loves and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives, expecting nothing in return, expecting nothing back, but a real, real friend who was self-sacrificing right to the nth degree. Thirdly, Jonathan's friendship was steadfast in times of opposition. And over the next few Sundays as we work through David's life, it will be amazing that Jonathan stuck to David Even the times when his dad was against him, Jonathan was steadfast. At a critical time in his life, when the wheels could so easily have fallen off, with a relatively young man in his early 20s becoming so popular and everybody's idolizing him, he could so easily have gone to his head. He could so easily have become proud. He could so easily have done the wrong things. But he didn't, you see. He didn't. And one of the biggest things that he had was an amazing friend, Jonathan. And Jonathan was able to keep David right on track. I'm not too sure if you we read through our papers yesterday morning. I was personally very saddened to read of the suicide of one of our former Springbok athletes. Remember this man, she was a South African champion. The 10,000 meters. Mary and I used to go and watch him run. It was brilliant. But now, something has gone wrong. And his life has just fallen apart. It's hard to cope with popularity. You may remember some of you watching Bjorn Borg win Wimbledon all those times. You remember that? That was phenomenal. But after that, he battled, didn't he, to cope with popularity, and all things went wrong. Because it's not easy. And you know what, my friends, is that a time like this is never perhaps before that we need a friend. And you know, the greatest friend I always want to recommend to you, the greatest friend in life is the Lord Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one in the world like him. The Lord Jesus Christ's love for us is absolutely pure in its origin. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up everything for you. His love for us was self-sacrificing. He gave up everything. He emptied himself of everything. He left it all behind. And he came to this world to die on a cross in your place and in my place. On that cross, he took all the wrath that should have been on you and me. He took it on himself. What a friend. A friend whose love is pure in origin. Absolutely self-sacrificing in action. And steadfast in opposition. The Lord Jesus will never let us go. And you see, maybe even this morning, if I can suggest that, with all the pressures around us today, I want to say to you one more time, there is somebody who cares and loves, and his name is Jesus. And so David has got a friend who's stuck with him. And he's walking with God. The second thing you notice about him, number two, is the public approval. In verse 5, it says, whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. He's growing from strength to strength. The people worshipped him. Whatever he did was a success. And he is promoted to a very high rank in the army. But you know the lovely thing? It never went to his head. He managed during this time to stay as a humble man, as a godly man, and as a man who walked with God. David. A man after the heart of God. But now, just secondly, a horrible sight. You know, friend, a sad story. Let's happen and see what occurred to Saul. Now, Saul is on the throne, but he's not yet
gone. David's just waiting. He is anointed, but he's not yet on the throne. And this interim period was difficult. So look what happened in verse 6. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul, were singing and dancing with joyful songs, with tambourines and lutes. And as they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." And what that did was spark something in Saul that was horrible to see. It sparked a spirit of incredible jealousy. If you go down to verse 9, it says, "From that time onwards, Saul kept a jealous eye on David." And I want you to see now what happens. Just take you step by step, if I may, to show you what jealousy does. Number one, an evil spirit comes upon Saul. See verse 10? "The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul." That is a frightening, frightening thought, that, my precious friends. Saul started off, remember that, so well. He had all the gifts, all the talent, all the personality. He had everything. Head and shoulders above everybody else. But his life's in a shambles. His life's in a mess. And now, an evil spirit has come upon Saul. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, Matthew Henry, an old commentator, but one of the very, very best, said this. As a spirit of prophecy, a spirit of wisdom, of prudence in government, a spirit of courage and fortitude, those that drive the good spirit away from them become a prey to the evil spirit. And that's what's happened. The departure of the Holy Spirit now means that all those special equipments that God gave to Saul to carry out his office are now withdrawn. And an evil spirit comes upon Saul. And let me show you what happens. When an evil spirit comes upon a man or a lady, and they are breeding and encouraging this dreadful, dreadful cancer of jealousy, let me show you the subtle methods that he then used to try and get rid of David, and there were three. The first one is in verse 13 to 16. "So he sent David away and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. And in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw how successful he was, he became afraid of him. But all Israel loved David because he led them in campaigns." You see what Saul did? Saul says, "I'm now going to put David in control of my army. And I want him to go right to the front. And when he's in the front, my real hope and desires that they'll kill David." So he promotes him to the top. David doesn't die, but he becomes more popular. So this poor man with jealousy and an evil spirit then went to the second step. Look at verse 17. "Saul said to David, 'Here is my elder daughter Merab, I will give it to you in marriage if only you serve me bravely and fight the battles for the Lord. Saul said to himself, I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do it. So what happens now? Saul says to David, here's my daughter. You can have her, but go and fight for me. Why did he do that? He wanted David out. He wanted David dead, and again it failed. So the last one was in verse 20. Now Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David. And when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. And he said, I will give her to him, he thought, so that he may be a snare to him, so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So Saul said to David, now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law. And again he gives his other daughter. But this time he says, the price is, I want you to give me 1,000 dead Philistines. And David did that. And he didn't die. Jealousy is a dreadful thing. Jealousy kills you. And so Saul, gripped with this evil spirit, thinking up these evil ways, is now gripped with jealousy. I'm sure I'm wrong, and I ask your forgiveness. But you know, I just want to remind you, it's so easy to become jealous. Don't ever, ever let it happen. If somebody else gets praises above you, give thanks. If somebody gets promotion when you deserve it, give thanks. If someone gets more adulation than you want, say thank you. Don't allow yourself to say, I'm going to be jealous. And you become envious of someone else's character, or someone else's giftedness, or somebody else's effectiveness, because it will eat you away. Step by step. So on the one hand, you've got David walking with God, living a humble life, and being incredibly successful. And then you've got on the other hand Saul, where an evil spirit is on him, and he's eaten with jealousy. Just lastly, we ask ourselves, what was it that made David the man that he was? Where did his strength lie? Listen, here is the answer to that. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. Isn't that lovely to read? Why was David so successful? Because the Lord was with him. Let's go back to that little quote. When the great scorer comes to score against your name, he does not write if you won or lost, but how you played the game. My brothers and sisters, the reason why David played well was the condition of his heart. You see, it's from the heart that the mouth speaks. If you want to clean up somebody's mouth, you clean their heart. If you want to clean somebody's mind, if it's filled with jealousy or lust or evil thoughts, how do you clean the mind? You clean the mind by getting to the heart through the Word of God. Everything comes from the heart. And the way we speak and the way we act, and the things we do, the things we say, all of this is going to come from your heart. And what I say to you, if I may this morning, as we see in these two men, he has one man, and his heart was right. And he lived a humble life. And he gave all the glory to God. And he walked with God. And he was a great success. The other man didn't. An evil spirit came upon him. He was filled with jealousy and filled with hatred. And so David, at this point in his life, is exhibiting exemplary humility in his response to all the praises of people. And as we go, if I could just again urge you as please help me to, together, like David and Jonathan, the secret to all these issues lies with Jesus. And the more you love Christ, and the more we walk with Christ, and the more we are devoted to Christ, the more we become like Christ in how we think and speak and act. But the further we are away from Him, the more we become like Saul. I'm sure you've been to weddings, and the minister has said it's like a triangle. Got the Lord Jesus at the top, Jack and Jill. And it's true. The nearer Jack and Jill come to Christ, the nearer they come together. The further they go from Christ, the further they go away from each other. It's the same with character. When we know Jesus and we meditate on His Word and we're growing in that relationship, how do I know? You'll see it in life. Your life will tell the story. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for all that we can learn from the Bible. And we thank You for being with David at this early part of his life and how he is growing and how he is maturing in his walk with You. And we just so long that people will see that in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, so often for saying those things that hurt others, for those thoughts that we allow to come through our minds. Forgive us, Lord, sometimes even for jealousy and envy, which we allow to creep in. But oh, we want to ask You please to forgive us and to enable us to go home even today to live like David and not like Saul. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.